It is 6:07. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetie's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Well, it was another rousing day on Capitol Hill. We're also going to get an update later on this morning from Ryan Smeltz at Fox News about the tragedy that took place at Reagan National Airport down in D.C. Some of the stuff that is starting to come out now, the factual stuff, not the conspiracy, but the factual stuff that's starting to come out. We are hearing that there had been a number of near misses of this very type of crash where it was a helicopter, a military helicopter, and a passenger airplane. There had been a number of near misses over time. We're also hearing with great specificity that there had been tremendous understaffing. Now, I know this sounds untoward, where there was a loss of 67 lives. But at the same time, we have to recognize that it was preventable. And if we don't recognize that, it'll happen again. And next time, maybe it's my family or maybe it's your family. But there's great specificity and testimony in Congress last year about the understaffing and about how the two entities, one military, one civilian, are not supposed to be under the purview of the same people. So I think we're going to have to go through some layers here, because you know how it works in the federal government. They don't like to reveal the truth. The truth is not something they're much acquainted with. Oh, they'll try to tear apart nominees of President Trump with information that they personally have right in front of them, and then act like the person won't answer the question. But this is a tragedy, and it appears from pretty much all accounts this was a preventable tragedy, and there had been several close calls even recently down at Reagan. So this needs to be looked at. I'm assuming it's going to be, but you know, you never know. This is Congress, and there are so many fiefdoms down there, it's really sometimes just hard to believe what you and I face from our government. So our hearts certainly go out to the families. It's a great tragedy, a great loss of life, military and civilian, just a great loss of life. But now we need truth. We need truth because the families, after they get over the initial grief stage, are going to want answers. And it appears there are some answers to give them. And then everyone else should want answers so that it doesn't happen again, particularly when we now know there were several close calls in the recent past and over time, but most assuredly in the recent past. So hopefully they will seek truth. Seek truth. Government is about priorities, folks. We talk about it here all the time. Governing is about priority. And everything cannot have the same priority, because if it does, then there is no priority. You've heard me talk about this many times when it comes to cutting the budget. Some people just say, well, let's just go in and cut 10% off across the board. First, it's lazy. And second of all, it demonstrates what I just said. There is no actual priority. If everything can be cut 10%, then that means things like national security have no more priority than hiring IRS agents. I think most Americans, maybe not all, because there are some that believe that the government should take everything they can from some people to give to others, as Karl Marx demanded. So I hope these people will seek truth down there, not hyperbole, not grandstanding, as we saw yesterday in the United States Senate. I'm going to play a lot of clips this morning because you probably were working and didn't get a chance to hear it. This is the audience, my audience, works. Maybe there are audiences out there that a lot of people in them don't, but in my audience, people work. And because they work, this information is not always easily available. And if it is available on the computer or at night, you know, you're home with your family, and you've had to work all day and you want to come home and relax with your family. And I don't blame you for that. So I'm going to play a lot of these clips this morning just so you can hear them and you can decide if this is appropriate behavior out of the United States Senate. You know how I feel about it. I feel it's disgraceful. And I think that there's something else going on here. The level of anger hurled at Kash Patel, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Tulsi Gabbard yesterday was beyond the pale of reason. There was something else going on here, and I believe it's because the people of the United States Senate who are making these hyperbolic accusations and then not even allowing the person to respond, because when they do, they cut them off and start yelling at them. I believe they have some things that they've done since they've been in elective office they need to be held to account for, and they're afraid that the sheriff has come to town. You know, I've said this for a long time. It has nothing to do with Trump. I know everybody likes to, for some reason, Trump is the standard of measure. He's not for me. He never has been. I support Donald Trump. I support his ideas. Presidents come and go. But as you know, you've heard me say, if you've listened to this show for very long, I believe Washington, D.C. is the most corrupt city in the world. And I stand by that statement. And I believe what we are seeing here is evidence of it being played out in front of God and everybody. Where members of the United States Senate are trying to destroy people to keep them from coming into positions of authority so that they themselves won't be investigated for the activities they've engaged in. Yesterday, a longtime listener sent me a note and said on the text line, McVetty's text line, and said, where did you come up with $5.2 million in campaign payments from Big Pharma to Elizabeth Warren? And I said, you got to do research. And I gave him the website to go to do it. And they wrote me back later and said, well, I can only come up with $1.2 million, only $1.2 million, as though you can't be bought off for $1.2 million. And I said, well, that was, you know, 10 minutes of research. Research is not 10 minutes. You have to go in and untangle the layers. And the person said, okay, so that means I can't trust you. And I said, okay, fine. Because that's how things are now. You go on, you spend 5 minutes on a website that you're not familiar with, and you come up with a few things, and it doesn't match up what I said, so suddenly I'm the dishonest one. But that's the way America is today. What you have to do is you have to spend time researching. You have to untangle all of the webs that have been woven by these dishonest people on K Street and in the Capitol. And it's not easy to do, and you have to know how to do it, and you have to be willing to put in the time to do it. You have to understand who the lawyer firms are, the legal firms that are representing these places, so that the donations aren't always obvious. But it takes time and it requires effort. And so I'm not chastising this person. And whether they ever trust me or not is irrelevant to me. I don't need you to trust me. I never have. I'm not that person. I always say, don't take my word for it. How many times a day do I say that here and have said it for decades? Don't take my word for it. Don't believe me. Go look it up for yourself. But something that takes exhaustive research on my part cannot be concluded on your part in 5 minutes. Doesn't work that way. It's like the abortion law in the state of Maine. I have told you repeatedly that Janet Mills signed into law the most expansive, least restrictive abortion law of any country in the world that actually has abortion laws, which means you have to spend exhaustive hours going through the laws of a few hundred nations and seeing, A, if they even have abortion laws, and if they do, how do those abortion laws apply? And it's not easy, and you have to untangle a lot to understand it, but it was worth my time because, as you know, I'm pro-life. And I wanted to make the point that the governor of this state, who promised the people of Maine in her reelection bid that she would not change the abortion law. 2 weeks after being sworn in, did precisely that and created, from my perspective, the worst abortion law in the world. It's the most expansive, least restrictive, does not even require a doctor, does not require a medical reason. And that's what the law says, and that's what the language says. Now, you can argue it all you want, but she signed a document, of which I have in my possession, that became a law. And the language of that law is not in dispute. But people like to dispute it because it doesn't serve their purpose. The abortion crowd does not want you to know that this is the worst law in the entire world because it doesn't serve their purpose. And if you find it out, you might decide maybe that's a bridge too far. So they lie to you. This is Senator Mark Warner. Mark Warner was questioning Tulsi Gabbard. And the reason I'm going to play this clip is because I want you to hear him ask her a question. And as she literally goes to answer it, Mark Warner decides he wasn't really interested in the answer to start with. It's kind of a juvenile approach to gaining information.
Attention to the egregious civil liberties violations that were occurring at that time.
Ms. Gabbard, I ask you a question. Please give me the courtesy of responding. You said the reforms now make you support it. What can you cite? Which reforms?
There are a number of reforms to include
In the new law,
that,
right?
That all right. Of you and your
Gabbard,
wisdom.
Ms. Gabbard, my time.
So there he goes. Ms. Gabbard, you cited there were reforms that allow you now to support the FISA law. What were they? Tulsi Gabbard said that there were a number of reforms, and as she was beginning to articulate them, he cuts her off because he's not interested in her answer. And he wants it to appear to you and me that she has no real answer. So he cuts her off and says, I have very little time left.
Time is getting short. But I got to just tell you, after the reforms were passed into law in April of 24, you went on Joe Rogan's podcast in May.
Oh, my God. She went on Joe Rogan's podcast in May. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, that's going to be read into the congressional record here. So again, he was talking about FISA. Tulsi Gabbard's been very specious of it, as should you be, because they've used it to spy on American citizens, even though they're not supposed to do it. And what's supposed to happen in the FISA court, and again, I've spent exhaustive hours studying all of this and talking with people who are involved, that when they are surveilling foreign actors, if an American gets caught up in that surveillance, they are supposed to black that out. The American is not supposed to be known. Now, as you know, at the end of the Obama administration, I can't think of her name. We can look it up during the break and give it to you. She revealed all kinds of names that had been engaged in foreign surveillance. They got caught up in it. Didn't mean they were actually doing anything wrong. They could have been engaging with someone that they had no idea was under surveillance through the FISA court. And so Gabbard said, after your reforms last year, I'm okay with this. And he asked her the question, what were the reforms that allowed you to now support it? And as she went to answer, she said there were many reforms. And as she went to answer, he literally cut her off and would not allow her to answer. Claimed he was running out of time. Of course, he was running his mouth. If he had shut his mouth like a gentleman would have done, there are no gentlemen in Washington, D.C., by the way. If he had shut his mouth and allowed her to answer, as a gentleman would have done, as decorum would dictate, maybe you would know why she now supports it.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo.